3-1 pitch, swing and a drive. Deep to right field, way up there, way out of here. Goodbye, baseball.
Eight strikeouts for the King tonight and make it 23 consecutive scoreless innings for Felix.
Strike three called on the outside corner, and there it is.
It's time for the Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast.
Kyle Seager, that just happened. Thank you very much.
Now, here's your host, Gary Hill.
All right, welcome back to the Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast. Gary Hill back with you as we go over what was a weird and wild weekend. We only have a few minutes to do it under a bit of a time crunch here, but we have a lot to get to in this one. Of course, it is Monday. Bullpen Banter is here as always on a Monday. This is a good one. Charlie Furbush with James Clifford. That's coming up. Very interesting conversation between Aaron Goldsmith and Mike Blowers. Yesterday was a big day in Major League Baseball. There's been a youth movement going on. We've seen what Chris Bryant has done with the Cubs and Joey Gallo with the Rangers. And yesterday, the Twins called up, well, the top prospect in baseball, Byron Buxton. And also, Cleveland called up their shortstop, Francisco Lindor. And Mike Blowers and Aaron Goldsmith are going to talk about that. We're also going to hear from Mariners catcher slash pitcher Jesus Sucre. We'll get into that in just a few minutes. Something comes out of that interview that I am astounded by. Jesus Sucre had never pitched from a mound before, ever, which is remarkable. He might be the first guy in Major League history that's never thrown from a mound until he steps on a Major League mound. You know, most guys at some point during their baseball lives, even as a 7-year-old, have taken the mound at some point in their lives and thrown a pitch or two, but not Jesus Sucre until over the weekend. So that comes up in a few minutes, but let's dive into this weekend. Mariners taking on the Astros for three games. Division rivals at the top looking to gain some ground. And it was a shocker, the first game of the series, as Felix Hernandez gives up 8 runs in a third of an inning to set the tone for the weekend. And that was a rough ball game as they were down big. They were down big early. And there was no coming back as Houston ended up winning that ball game 10-0, 11 hits for the Astros, 8-run first inning. The Mariners couldn't mount much at all, just 4 hits along the way. Brett Oberholzer goes 8, allows 3 hits, shutting out the M's in game 1 of the series. It got to the point where the bullpen is so taxed, Jesus Sucre came in to pitch the 8th inning.
Pitch swung on, ground ball to shortstop. Brad Miller scoops it up, throws the first in time to get Marisnik. And how about that? Jesus Sucre, a 1-2-3 bottom of the 8th inning. First time to get on a Major League mound. He was outstanding, gave up a hit, but a double play behind him. And Sucre retires the Astros in order.
So forgettable game 1 of the series. Unexpected, shocking, and not what you thought you'd see with Felix Hernandez on the hill. So the Astros, they take game 1 of the series, but nice bounce back in game 2. As Logan Morrison stole the show in game 2 of the series.
The stretch and the 1-1 pitch, curve, swing and a drive, deep to right field. Back she goes. Goodbye, baseball. Logan Morrison with his 7th home run of the season. A 3-run shot here in the top of the first. His 3rd career home run off of McHugh. And it's now the Mariners 5 and the Astros nothing. 5 runs are in here in the top of the first inning.
Yeah, they turn the tables. A 5 spot in the first inning and also 3 big runs in the third.
The 1-0. Swinging, he sends another high deep fly ball right field. Can he hit it again? His 2nd home run is on the way and it's gone. Logan Morrison, 2 at-bats, 2 round trippers, 5 RBIs for Lomo. And we're not even through 3 innings. It's 7-0 Mariners.
A 8-1 win for the M's in game 2 of the series. 5 different Mariners with 2 hits in the ballgame, including Morrison, 2-for-5. Drives in 5. Mark Trumbo, 2-for-5. He scored twice. Cruz, 2-for-5. Drove in a run. Jackson, 2-for-5. He drove in a run. Seth Smith, 2-for-4. So a good day all the way around for the Mariners. And Mike Montgomery did it once again.
The next pitch, swinging a ground ball up the middle. Miller arranging, slides down to his knee. A short flip there to Cano at second base, and it's in time. to get the speedy Jake Marisnik, who slid into second. Gonzalez, a fielder's choice. Marisnik is out at second base, 6-4. And with that, Mike Montgomery make it now three consecutive quality starts in his first three big league outings as he goes six innings here today in Houston and allows just one run along the way.
So first major league win for Mike Montgomery. Congratulations to him as the Mariners even the series. And despite what happened to Felix on Friday night, the Mariners had a chance to take the series going into Game 3. But much like Friday night, Game 3 was very similar. Rinus Elias really struggled with his command in the game.
The wind of the payoff pitch. It's outside for ball four. Elias walks in Rasmus from third. Elias has tied a season high with four walks. It comes with two outs. The bases remain loaded, and it's now 5-0 Astros.
Yeah, three runs of the first for the Astros, a two-run third, five-run fourth, and they kept on tacking on. Elias did not have his command, 3 1/3, eight runs, seven earned as the bullpen did heavy lifting once again, as the Mariners ended up losing the ballgame 13-0, a game where they didn't get their first hit till the sixth.
Pitch on the way, swinging. This is club down the left field line. Will it stay fair? Does it have the distance? It is back into the corner. It is a fair ball that rattles around. It's on the field. It's picked up by Rasmus. And the Mariners get their first hit of the day.
And the bullpen now has been heavily taxed going into San Francisco. We'll talk about those games coming up in just a second, but well, you look at the past four ball games. You had the Montgomery start of six innings, but mixed in there, Hap 2 1/3, Felix 1/3, Elias 3 1/3. That's just 12 innings from their starters the past four ball games to go along with a 15.00 ERA in those four games. The bullpen has thrown 21 innings the last four games, 5 2/3, 7 2/3, 3 4/2. That is a lot of work out of the pen the past four ball games. And the Houston numbers are really staggering when you look at what's happened between the Mariners and Astros so far this season. Before that, here's Lloyd McClendon after the game yesterday.
Turn for age and get ready for San Francisco.
Yeah. You talked a little bit about what you saw on Friday and Saturday. Do you see a difference today in the bats, or were you still a little frustrated in that regard?
Well, you know, listen, I said it the other day. You're down 8, 10, 12 and up, and your bats become very, very tough. Yeah, that's just the way it is. So. It's hard to judge offense on a day like this. So.
Ran through a lot of relievers there again. That bullpen, you just stretched as best as you can get right now.
It's not pretty, that's for sure. Yeah.
What did you see from their guy, McCullers?
Go ask their manager. I don't care about their pitches right now. I care about my club. So,
you gonna do anything, or are you gonna wait till tomorrow?
We option Farquhar back to AAA, and we make a corresponding move tomorrow.
What could be a position player?
In all likelihood, probably so. Yes.
Yeah, the Mariners go into a National League park, so in likelihood bringing up a position player, but the Mariners now have been shut out in three of their past four games. Of course, two of those they've been blown out along the way, so tough to tell in terms of at-bats, but the numbers against the Astros are just staggering. They've allowed 64 runs to the Astros this year, the second most to any team, 31 to the A's, over twice as many. 27 to Cleveland, 19 to the Angels. I mean, that in comparison is remarkable. 64 runs to the Astros. As a club, a 6.33 ERA against Houston, a 3.42 ERA against everyone else, which is, I mean, a 3.42 would be one of the best team ERAs in the American League. But a 6.33 against Houston. They've allowed 21 homers against the Astros so far this year. Second most against any team, 8 against the Angels. 32% of the homers the Mariners have allowed this year have been to Houston. 21 of their 65, 32% against the Houston Astros. And the numbers, they get even worse when you break it down to Minute Maid Park in particular. They're 1-6 at Minute Maid this year, and they've given up 17 homers, a 7.25 club ERA. At their ballpark, They've given up 17 homers at Minute Maid. They've given up 20 in every other American League or National League park outside of Safeco Field in 24 games. 20 homers, 24 games at Minute Maid, 17 homers in 17 games. And I think I've painted the picture pretty well in terms of what is happening and what has happened to them in Houston and against the Astros. Now, they turn around. They'll play the Astros next weekend, coming up at Safeco Field. Important games again, still taking on the division leaders. They won't have to go back to Houston, though, until the very end of August and the beginning of September. So that's a ways off. But they get another crack at the Astros coming up. And no time to think about this one. It's on to San Francisco today. Taiwan Walker against Tim Hudson, the veteran. Walker 3-6, 5.40 ERA. Hudson 4-5 with a 4.60. So a big one for the Mariners. A big one for Taiwan Walker. He's got to give the bullpen a breather as they have worked a lot. And, of course, Farquhar's been sent out as well. So that's another body gone from the bullpen. Jay Happ going to go day baseball tomorrow. 12:45 first pitch, 3-2, 3.72 ERA, looking for the bounce back. He's going against Tim Lincecum, former UW star, 6-3, a 3.33 ERA. And then back to Seattle on Wednesday, and this is going to be awesome. Felix Hernandez against Madison Bumgarner on Wednesday, dream pitching matchup. And then Thursday, Mike Montgomery will take on Ryan Vogelsong. So what is essentially a four-game series with San Francisco, two in the Bay Area, and two in Seattle on Wednesday and Thursday. Then the Astros, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So that sets you up for what comes up as the Mariners look to get things cracking. We're going to hand things off now. Time for Bullpen Banter. Here's Charlie Furbush.
Hey, we're back again with another edition of Bullpen Banter. I am Charlie Furbush. And we are here in lovely Houston with my special guest today, our one and only strongest man ever, strength coach James Clifford. How you doing today?
Good, Bush. How you doing?
Outstanding. Glad to have you on the show again. So anyways, yeah, we're here in Houston. I want to know which visiting team has the worst and best club, or best weight room.
I'd say here. Houston's got a really good visiting weight room, as well as New York. Really good-sized visiting weight room. Worst would be Anaheim, for sure.
Grew up in the good state of Washington, went to UW, won a national championship. Yes, I'm brushing his shoulder off right now. My bad. What made you want to go play football in college?
You know, growing up, I played football. I was a UW fan. You know, growing up, I didn't really know what I wanted to do to start. I was drafted by the Mariners out of high school also, yet I had a full ride to go play at UW, full ride scholarship. You know, after I was drafted, I told the Mariners basically what I needed to sign. But once the All-State football game was played, I told them I will not, you know, I've made my mind up. After the All-State game, they called and said they'd meet my number. And I said, well, like I said, I'm going to college. I'm going to play. My mind was made up. I was there mentally. I feel it was a great decision. Had a great time there. 4 years later, I played baseball again at Washington, and I got drafted again. And it's weird. I've been in this organization and Seattle Northwest Athletics, you know, my entire life.
That's an all-American man right there. That's unbelievable, doing football and baseball at the same time. If time travel existed, which I wish it does someday, that'd be cool. Which point in time would you go back to and why? Or forward to? Yeah, you can move forward, too. We want to see what the future's like. Who knows? Maybe you can bring something from now back into the past that could change the future forever.
Going back, if I had to go back, I'll give you both, front end, right. Forward and backwards. If I had to go back, I would probably be back in the, you know, 60s. You know, I'd love to go back to the Green Bay area with, like, a Ray Nitschke playing linebacker.
Oh, man.
Where it was just, basically, it was just a brutal man, tough guy game. Really, I remember reading about Ray Nitschke and just how tough he was. And if I were to go forward, it for sure would probably be about, you know, 15 years from now. I have three daughters, and I can't wait for the day to, you know, when they're on
just
their own.
Yeah, just old enough to get them out of the house. So.
Well, it's not just out of the house, but when they're starting their own lives as adults, and whether that be, you know, marriage and career, and just to see that, I know in my heart that will be something really special for me.
It's like you knew the answer before I even asked the question. It's pretty amazing. So in the weight room, I want to know, there's got to be things that people go on. What's like, What's your biggest pet peeve that someone does in the weight room? Is it?
Well, I think it's probably any strength coach. When they take their weights out and they don't put them away. You know, they don't rack them. They don't clean their house. That would be it. Other than that, I mean, I'm pretty easy.
Pretty easy.
Most of our guys here work hard. They do a good job. And you know, with the addition of crews this year, it makes my job even more fun.
And what is your favorite cheat food?
Well, being from the Northwest and Seattle area, it'd be a Dick's Deluxe for sure.
Yes. Now, Dick's Deluxe. I've been recently introduced, I guess, within the last 2 years to Dick's. And Dick's Deluxe, that is... it's hard to beat, man.
It is hard to beat. My daughters, when they're in town, because we live in Arizona now in the off season, that's kind of the first stop. They always like to go there and get a Dick's cheeseburger, a Dick's Deluxe. It's just something I can't live without.
Absolutely, I'm right there with you. I might go there, you know, once every 2 weeks. Is that bad?
Yeah, not at all. You know, it's once every 2 weeks it works. It's a Northwest staple.
What is what's your weight room music of choice?
I've changed this year. I've gone to more of a reggae. I know that seems weird. That would motivate me, but this year's been more of a reggae year for me.
Get you into good proper form and rep out some reps, man. All right. Well, that's cool. I want to know, what's your go-to karaoke song?
Honestly, Leather and Lace by Stevie Nicks, and I think it's Steve Henley. You have to have a good person to sing it with. I'm not the singer, though. I'm not a really good singer. And do you know the song?
I know it is. I don't know it.
It's going to be hard. It's going to be hard. In the moonlight with your sleepy head. Could you ever love a man like me?
See, you got a good voice, man. The soothing voice of James Clifford right there. Yeah. That is amazing. You know, maybe we'll get you out to... like a local karaoke bar back in the Northwest after a couple of Dick's Deluxe, and we'll have a good time. What do you think?
I'm always open for it. Let's do it.
Well, thanks for coming on this week's edition of Bullpen Banter. And, we'll catch you guys next week. Hope you keep listening.
And you heard it there a moment ago. We talked about Jesus Sucre taking the mound. It's astounding. The first time he's ever thrown from a mound. Here's Shannon Dreyer.
First of all, I've got to ask, are you feeling okay? I mean, you threw 7 pitches last night.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really go like 100% yesterday because they tell me don't do nothing stupid. So I only threw about 75-80% yesterday. Man, I feel really good.
All right, so how did that all kind of unfold? When were you told? Who told you, hey, we might need you late in the game?
I was in the 7th inning. A strength came out to me like, hey, you got to go to the bullpen. I said, yeah, all right. I told he just wanted me to be there and catch a band. But, and then he told me, you might pitch one in. And I said, are you serious? He told me, like, yeah, I'm serious. You gotta go out there. We don't have any more guys. And I said, all right. I'm going to go get my spike, and I'll be there. I don't have any problems. So I went down there, and I waiting for that call, and they called, and I'll be there.
Get the righty up, and that was you.
Yeah. Yeah, as soon as I heard my name, you in the game, like, kind of nervous a little bit because I never pitched in my life, so trying to have fun and trying to get it out.
Let me ask you this. I mean, so you say you'd never pitch at any level. I know guys will sometimes mess around when they're playing catch and, hey, I got this pitch, I got that pitch, but had you actually ever thrown from a mound before?
No, not really. Not really. I mean, like you say, sometimes when I go out and play catch with Mike, sometimes I throw Mike like a changer and slider, so... It was funny because as soon as I get to the mound, Mike looking at me like, what you got? And I said, oh, all fastballs. And he told me, what, you're not going to throw change and you slide it? And I was like, no, Mike, let's go. We got to go all fastballs. So that's just, what I did, all fastballs.
Just go right after the hitters, right?
Yeah.
Did he say anything else when you came out there?
No, he just came out to me like, wow, man, that was heavy. That was good sinker. That was really heavy. You started laughing down there. I said, that was you, man. You the guy that put the fingers down.
Did it take when you got up in the pen? Because you said you'd never been on a mound before. I mean, did it take a little bit to adjust to that? Did you hit the glove right off?
I really feels a little weird, but I just thrown like 20 pitches. I'm ready to go.
Did anyone give you any advice out there?
No, I was talking to Smith a little bit and then Ronnie, and they was just playing around with me like, hey, you got to go two seamers, man. All right, I'll practice that.
So you said you were going just 70-80% maybe out there. Did you look up? Did you know that you hit 90 once?
Yeah, I mean, I was taking a look one time, and I was hit like 87. I was like, oh, man. And then I found out after the game, they told me, I don't really know. It's Cano and all those guys. They told me, like, oh, man, you hit 90. And they asked me, like, oh, you go 100%? Nah, I don't know. They tell me to go like 80, 70%. So.
You know, it's an interesting opportunity because you're a catcher and now you know what it feels like to be a pitcher for seven pitches. Do you take something from that?
I don't think it's easy to pitch. I might be a little good luck yesterday for me, but
okay.
I really love to catch. I don't think he would pitch.
Okay, let me ask you this. If they ever needed an emergency catcher, which pitcher would you want to see behind the plate?
Oh, man. I don't know. That's a good question. I don't really know.
You just want to avoid it completely. Yeah, you don't want to see that.
I don't really want to see it.
All right, well, one thing. If this ever happens again, we got to see the slider, okay?
All right, I will. I'm going to practice with Maya. I will practice today and the next couple of days, see what happens.
Jesus, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
And finally, a lot of youngsters coming up the last couple of weeks. Two more yesterday. Here's Aaron Goldsmith with Mike Blowers talking about it.
We have seen Carlos Correa, the 20-year-old shortstop for the Astros, making his home debut, made his big league debut on the recent road trip for Houston. And then news breaking late last night or early this morning that a couple of other top prospects in the game being called up today, Francisco Lindor of the Indians, their top prospect, a shortstop, and then also Byron Buxton, an outfielder for the Twins, who's been all the talk of prospect chatter, really, for the last couple of years. Buxton getting called up today. So really, Mike, if you take a look at what we've seen so far, we're not even to the All-Star break yet. Chris Bryant, and by the way, this is Baseball America's top 100 preseason prospects,
right?
Okay? So Chris Bryant would have made the opening day club if not for the whole contract deal. Bryant is up. Buxton is up. Addison Russell of the Cubs. Shortstop, second baseman is up. Carlos Correa here. Joey Gallo, who just hit a
471-foot homer yesterday.
So he's been up for 2 weeks, and that's already the fourth longest home run ever hit in the history of that ballpark.
Yeah.
So he's a man. Jock Peterson with the Dodgers, who's off to an incredible start this year.
Right.
We mentioned Lindor. Thor. Noah Syndergaard of the Mets is up and pitching well. Jorge Soler, of course, has been up for some time, has been a little dinged up, and Carlos Rondon as well. So there's 15 of Baseball America's top 100 prospects, and we're not talking about mostly guys 97 and 87. These are top-tier blue-chip guys. What do you make about so many of these young, and we're talking really young, prospects already coming up, and in many cases of the teams we mentioned, these are a lot of teams that are in contention right now.
And the majority of them that you mentioned are position players.
Good point.
And the thing about that is I think first and foremost, teams are struggling offensively. Pitching is so dominant. And I think they're willing to trade maybe some rookie young mistakes that they're going to make them for some added offense. And you talked about Bryant. He's adding some offense to the Cubs. Gallo, his third home run yesterday. And since his brief call-up, teams are looking for offense. And I think that they're getting to a point now where they'll try to get it anywhere that they can. And what's the downside to it? They bring him up. If they struggle for 3 weeks to a month, you send him back. It's not a real risky thing, I don't think.
It's funny you bring up the offense because it kind of seems like, and the Mariners have been in this boat where they've pitched well, but the offense has struggled.
Right.
And you could say that about a lot of teams right now. But it seems like if you're a team in baseball that is hitting, but you're not pitching well, it almost seems like pitching has become the thing that's easier to, whether it be acquire or find, but the game has been so starved in offense. Bryant, the reigning National League Rookie of the Month. Gallo, you mentioned. Jock Peterson is having an all-star style first half. His home runs never seem to come down. We know Soler strikes out a bunch, but hits him a ton. And Carlos Correa already two home runs in his brief time here in the big leagues. But I think you're onto a good point there.
I think that it's fairly easy to explain. We're seeing more guys that can throw in the mid-90s than I've ever seen. Ever. It's every guy today's matchup. You're going to see this kid today that's going to go out, and he's going to be throwing 95. You see a lot of that. Bullpens are deeper. They have more guys out there. Most of them are power pitchers. I think the big separator for me, though, is on the offensive side, and that is because a lot of strikeouts in this game today. You don't have enough guys in lineups that are consistently putting the ball in play. You have easier outs, and I think that's why you're starting to see these clubs trying to find offense wherever they can. And it makes sense to me that you go younger in some respects because you're probably getting better athletes. They're younger, they're faster, they're stronger. You talk about Peterson, he's a center fielder. I saw some film today of Buxton. He looks tremendous. I mean, you're talking 6'1", 190 pounds. What looks like he has some pop and can fly. So it's exciting to see him. Well, this Correa, this kid right here,
yeah.
You know, you look at him, he's going to be a real good player. He's only 20. But I think that you get these guys going and see if they can help you out. And, again, because you control them, there's really no downside to it.
And a couple of points there I think are worth kind of dovetailing on. Of the names we mentioned, two of them African-American, Byron Buxton, Addison Russell. That is nice to see. We know that Commissioner Manfred is really pushing for minorities in baseball, whether it be managers, coaches, or players. So it's nice to see a couple of really young, promising stars coming up. But then the athletes, Buxton looks like he might already be one of the best athletes in the game. It seems as though the more athletes, the more minorities, the more just kind of young and very marketable players this game can have.
That's the key. You have, for me, I think you get those guys up here and then you market them.
Yeah.
And you get people excited about these guys because they're going to be around for a long time. And I think that's a big key for this game. Get the best athletes involved in the game, get them up here and market them and move this game forward.
That's the key, and this is a pretty good crop of young players that we're talking about here today, and it'll be fun to track them as they go along.
See you later!